You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts! Alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson and Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Corey Parson, what's going on, my man?
What's the deal with you, Mr. Sussman? Fantasy executive up early, feeling good this morning, fresh off of evening of watching Senior Bowl practice.
Senior Bowl practice.
Pretty,
who are you ever
pretty
hunt
nervous.
Now? Is that what this is?
I'm the czar of the playbook now.
Who do you like from Southern?
I saw that kid he was talking about, too. They was talking him up, that same guy. So he can play.
Alrighty. Matt Modica, sir, how are you?
I'm doing good this morning. I was watching Cavs Spurs the end of the first half. The Cavs were up, and then LeBron was dropping the ball, taking air balls. They went on like a 16-3 run to close out the half.
Yep.
And then I wound up watching the next 2.5 hours of Deer Hunter.
What did I watch? I watched SmackDown Live. I watched the first episode of the Assassination of Johnny Versace.
How was that?
Weird.
I can imagine.
Weird. And then I was going to watch Shark Tank, but then I went to bed. Instead, I tried to get some sleep. I slept great. I was up every hour, but I slept great. Like, it was weird. It was one of those things, all right, what time is it? Oh, it's only 2:30. It's great. There was 3:30, there was 4:30, there was 5:30. And I was talking up. So, you know, that was it. But I feel good. I feel good today. On the program today, much more NBA to get to. The NBA All-Stars have been announced officially. The draft will take place and announced tomorrow. Of course, you won't find out the order of the picks. You won't see the draft, but it'll happen, probably via Skype.
For an organization that does television so well, mm-hmm. You know, when you look what they do with the playoffs, they give you 2 months of night to night action. You know what I'm saying? You look at what they've done with Turner. Turner does a great job.
Great job.
I mean, they got the best studio show, mainstream studio show. There is, you know, with inside, you know what I'm talking about, inside the NBA. With
yes, of
the crew, Ernie and them.
Shaq, Ernie.
Yeah, the whole thing.
Kenny.
How do they drop the ball on this? It baffles me.
So, I don't think they dropped the ball. I don't think they dropped the ball so much in that the NBA, this is the first time doing it. And they're just like, I don't know. Seriously, like, here's where
everybody's talking about. Even the coaches are saying, why is this not being televised?
So, here's where they dropped the ball. TNT didn't even know the rules to their own draft. Like, they were doing a mock draft last night, and they started drafting, like, Russell Westbrook 2 overall, and that's not possible. They drafted Klay and Draymond before Kyrie. Again, not possible, because those aren't starters.
Starters, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's surprising. Like Corey said, the NBA really does do a fan. They're like the opposite of the NHL, which does the total, like, worst job with TV.
Yeah, they do.
It's a shame, as a fan of the NHL. But you know what? Last night, what I take away is shout out to the Knicks. They covered.
How about that? That was shocking. I didn't, you know, that was wild. So the NBA All-Stars have been announced. We're going to get into that later on the program. And also, we here at FNCSY did our own Hall of Fame ballot for MLB, because that comes out today. We'll find out who made the Hall of Fame. We've done our ballot. And according to my tabulations here, we have, let me see here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 new members of the MLB Hall of Fame.
Oh, okay. I can't wait to hear who they are.
Yeah. 5 new members.
I got to say, luckily, I don't do the Hall of Fame ballots and stuff. Because if it was up to me, there might be like 100 players or maybe less in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, boy.
I don't know how many there are. I should probably Google that right now. How many players are actually in the Hall of Fame? Because I don't know. I think there's too many, in my opinion.
You think it's a hall of very good, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I think it should be the hall of, like, the greatest, like, all the goats. But that's, you know, maybe I'm just getting old and more jaded with time.
Maybe so.
I mean, like, when I was a kid, I knew every record in MLB, and
right.
I revered the Hall of Fame.
Of course.
Now, like today, I can really get less.
Yeah, that's
you got too much going on now.
I understand that.
Like, you know, it's like
No, no, but wonder what it really is. It's like, you know, these records and stuff. I don't know. They, you know, it's kind of gone by the wayside. I think the steroid era, as much as it did save baseball, whatever, the Maguire, Sosa, when they came back. I mean, look, I bought into it, too. I was, you know, watching it and into it. I think, you know, the overall, the one thing baseball always had was the sanctity of those numbers.
Sure. And then the steroid era changed that, obviously. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, I think that's very reasonable. And also on the show, we played a little Who Said It with the NBA. We played that on the NBA show on Monday, Corey.
That'd be fun.
I have a lot more here that I want to get to.
We can do the same questions.
No.
No?
No.
All right. Can't do the same
You
would have
gotten those right.
Then that would have made it easy for me.
Yeah, no, no. We have different ones. We'll see if you can beat Matt in that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have some baseball news, some football news, and that's kind of the plan for the program.
That's this program right there. We got All-Star Snubs to talk about,
yes,
too.
Yes, we do. Absolutely. Well, we'll do all of that coming up here in hour number two.
It's like you just can't get everybody in. I feel like a lot of the snubs have a case.
A lot of the snubs have a case.
But you can't get everybody in.
I mean, like, it's not like the NFL where, you know, like the sixth best quarterback.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
Derek Carr was not the sixth best quarterback.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, Tyrod Taylor-ish. Yeah. It was, you know.
Very strange. Okay. Let me start out where we kind of ended off yesterday. And I said we were talking about it today. Let's do it. Jerick McKinnon said, and there's a lot of changes in Minnesota. That's kind of where we want to start. Mm-hmm. With the Minnesota Vikings, there is a lot that is going to change. When given an opportunity to say, hey, yeah, we want Case back. You know the guy who's never supported Case Keenum all year?
Well, didn't support him again.
He didn't support him. Mike Zimmer says, you know what? We're gonna work through that quarterback position.
Yeah.
Case Keenum's a free agent. Teddy Bridgewater's a free agent. Sam Bradford's a free agent. What do you do with the running back position, coach? We're going to work through that.
Yeah.
Dalvin Cook, already running, which is a good sign, obviously. Jerick McKinnon, when asked if he wants to be back, he said, I want to be the full-time guy.
Like, yeah.
I can do this thing. I can do this thing all three downs. I want to be the man.
He's going to have to go someplace else to do that.
Probably so. So.
He'd be a good New York Giant.
We'll get to that in a second. Teddy Bridgewater says he wants to start in 2018, and he was a little upset that he was inactive the last two games of the season.
Yeah, well, you know, listen, you're the guy coming back from the more major injury, the guy with the most amount of rust on him. In those situations, if there was to have to go to a backup, it would have to be Sam Bradford, not you, Teddy. But I think he's going to get the opportunity in the offseason to win the job.
And then, finally, they've got to replace parts of their coaching staff. As Pat Shermer, of course, is gone to New York to be the Giants coach. And they interviewed Daryl Bevel, their former offensive coordinator. He was there in the prime of AP's career with Brett Favre and whatnot.
Yep.
Went to Seattle with Pete Carroll. Fired by Pete Carroll. Now he's interviewed both Arizona and Minnesota.
He'll get a job. He's going to latch on somewhere.
Lot of changes for the NFC North champs, the NFC conference
runner-up.
A lot of changes are around. Let's see what we can pick through.
Yet still, I really like this nucleus that they have. You know, hopefully the defense, you know, at the end they seem to get a little banged up. They didn't show up in Philly. But that defense should play again next year once again. And the offense, here's the thing, Latavius Murray, what is his contract? So I heard he's got like a terrible contract, so are they probably just going to cut him? And
no, I think Latavius Murray with his money will be back next year.
Latavius Murray will be the backup to Dalvin Cook.
I agree with that.
Yeah, no, somebody was, I don't have the numbers, so that's why I'll Google that in a moment or something. I think it says current cap hit is only $900,000.
I'll check it.
So I don't know the whole details. But yeah, McKinnon is going to fly to Coop, it seems like. You know, he wants to be featured. I don't know really where he's going to be featured. I don't know if that's the best. He does. It's all about touches. Like we look at Mark Ingram, who would, you know, under 18 touches seems to be better than when he has more than 18 touches.
So ultimately, they do have a potential out after this year if they want to cut Latavius Murray. They'll have about 1.2 mil in dead cap space, but they'll save about 3 million in doing it. If they don't cut him now, I believe they're basically locked in for 2 years of Latavius Murray then.
That way.
Yeah, that's what I think maybe he might be a victim for that to either, you know, try and get somebody cheaper. I don't know. I mean, look, I got to give Latavius Murray credit this year. He looked a hell of a lot better than I thought he would ever look, and he was a big part of this team.
Absolutely.
Him and McKinnon together were, a dynamic duo. Maybe not as dynamic as Kamara and Ingram, But they did a lot to for the success of the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, let's also remember, Lett Murray, he's not old. He's 26 years old. He'll be 26 years old next year.
He's a perfect situation back to Absolutely. Dalvin Cook. You know what I'm saying? We want Cook to have the full gig. Cook
just
is going to have the full
28.
Gig. That way.
January 18th.
Lett Murray turned 28?
It says born January 18th, 1990 on Pro Football Reference.
According to his spot track page, he's 26 years old. So we'll go to the all-important Wikipedia.
Figure that part out.
He was born, look at this, January 1990, which means he just turned 28. Spot track is just dead wrong. That's a bad job by Spot Track.
I always go to Pro Football Reference and never.
I always go for the contracts at Spot Track.
Spot Track could do a better job than
very,
that.
But yeah, with the quarterback situation,
like I said, they've never wanted to commit to Keenum. And the reason Keenum kept that job is they were just winning. And you couldn't, with that veteran locker room, if they would have took Keenum out, you would have tore that locker room apart. And you just could not do it. And what were your options? Teddy Bridgewater, who hasn't played in a year and a half, 2 years. Sam Bradford, who can't even stand. So, and look, Keenum deserves credit. I mean, I know whatever that last game and stuff, but what he was able to do, you know, he was the backup quarterback. They had, you know, backup running backs in there, an offensive line that they put together in the offseason. So, I mean, all in all, it was a very successful season. I just didn't see them. I thought, you know, the Saints had a very good chance of beating them, even though I thought the Vikings would win that at home. I did not see them losing to the Eagles.
I didn't see them losing to the Eagles either. And like I said, there's going to be wholesale changes in Minnesota. I agree with you that if they would have benched Case Keenum, there would have been some backlash. You couldn't do it then. But now they're going to go out and they're going to have to find their quarterback. I know you guys keep saying Teddy Bridgewater will probably be the guy. I don't know about that.
But who's giving Teddy Bridgewater like? Teddy Bridgewater is going to get one of those you got to show us.
Prove it deals. Yeah. Yeah.
And rightfully so. The guy hasn't played in 2 years, you know, coming off this injury. So, but I think they need a guy more like, you know, if I'm Kirk Cousins, the two places I'd love to go would be Minnesota or Jacksonville if the money is right.
Sure. Well, money's got to be right anywhere. Will Rick Spielman give Kirk Cousins in Minnesota the contract that he wants? I would. I mean, this is a team that is a championship contender. But there's a lot of changes, contender.
If you put Cousins on this team, and you have those three receiving options, and then you have a running game, I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying Kirk Cousins is great, but I think he's a very good quarterback.
The scary part for me is, let's say they do what you guys think and just sign Teddy Bridgewater, right? Like, just like make Bridgewater their starter. You're going to be very, very nervous about Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen next year in fantasy.
Oh, football. Yeah, no, I very would be. Nervous. But I don't think you just make – I don't think you're signing Diggs and saying you're the starter. I think you're saying you got to compete.
Bridgewater, you mean.
I mean, Bridgewater. You have to compete for this job.
Right.
Because, I mean, we don't know. We saw him come in that one game, and, you know, it was nice to see – because, you know, it's been a long road back for this kid. But he's got to prove it again. This is, you know, professional sports, and it's a shame the injury he suffered – but we got to see it now.
The scary part, as I said, Corey, was what happens now to Adam Thielen and what happens to Stephon Diggs. And Adam Thielen, from what I saw, like, those yellow gloves were glue. I said it all year.
Yeah.
If we don't know who's throwing them the ball, that's going to bring both of their fantasy values down.
I'd buy the cheaper one. Diggs would be the cheaper one because Thielen coming
off
the big year.
I don't know that's true.
I think so, though. I still
Thielen
think
coming off. Look where he went in that mock draft we did. Scott overdrafted him. He drafted him in the second round. He overdrafted him.
Now,
he's going to be overdrafted.
How would you feel if they work out a trade and they put Alex Smith there? I'd be fine with it because I've seen what Alex Smith could do with Kelce. So you have Rudolph there. Alex Smith.
I don't know what the that team doesn't have an offensive coordinator.
But I'm saying Alex Smith got Tyreek Hill the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, seeing the pieces that they had there, I would be fine with Alex Smith.
I'll go with Alex Smith too. And we've seen that Minnesota has traded for a quarterback before. Of course, that was the Sam Bradford deal. Do they do it again for Alex Smith?
Well, I don't think Alex Smith's going to cost you that first rounder and stuff.
Right.
You know. A mid-round pick, you know.
We'll see. We'll see if they feel that that's enough of an upgrade. I don't know that they will. I don't know that they'll feel that Alex Smith is all that much better than Case Keenum.
The whole thing with Teddy Bridgewater, the problem here is, this is a team that should be right back in the NFC
Absolutely.
Championship.
They're going to expect to go to the Super Bowl next
year.
No, why would they think that?
Minnesota?
Yeah.
That defense?
Why would they think they're going to the Super Bowl next year? You're one game away.
Who's better than them? I mean, I'll put the Saints that should have a shot to be there.
Everything is going to change. I think that things will change. There will be shakeup. There will be, you know, it's not going to be the same six teams in the NFC. So I would really think, I would not give them a pass. That's a division with Aaron Rodgers in it.
Yeah, well, you put the Packers, the Vikings, the Saints, those three, let's throw another team in there. I mean, the Eagles, if Wentz is fully healthy.
I can't, like, give anybody a walk to the division round of the playoffs.
You don't think they're one of the best six teams in the NFC?
They don't have a quarterback. They don't have an offensive coordinator. There's too much unknown right now with that team to just put them in as, you know, we don't know what they're going to do.
I agree, and that's from our perspective. But from their perspective, when you're a game away
from the
Super Bowl,
look at it from their perspective, they still got things that they got to fix. So Bridgewater is likely going to be the guy. They're going to get him for the cheapest. They don't have to spend up for Bridgewater. They're going to get the hometown discount on him. He more than likely wants to be there. He'll get past the attitude. He'll get the first shot. They'll bring in somebody to compete with him that's going to cost less than the Case Keenum and what's old boy than Kirk Cousins.
I think just seeing Zimmer, I think he wants that quarterback that can get it done. Doesn't have to be super flashy, but isn't going to hurt him. He's a guy that, you know, most coaches do, but being especially from the defensive side, they just can't tolerate turnovers. So that's why I think Alex Smith would be a perfect fullback option for this.
Right, and I get that. Jerick McKinnon, as you said, he wants to start. Where can that happen, Corey?
Oh, that can happen with the New York Giants.
Do you think they'll sign him to be a starter?
I think they'll sign him to be a starting running back. It'll probably be a split backfield, but I agree. McKinnon should be have a role where he's the lead dog in a timeshare. He should be the positive side of a timeshare someplace, and I think the New York Giants would be a good opportunity for him.
Yeah, I just don't want to really see him getting more than 20 touches in a game. I think that 15, anywhere from 13 to 18, like that range, like 18 on the high side, I really don't think he needs to touch it more than that. And, you know, he's good. He's good. We finally get to see it. He was healthy. And, you know, maybe just it takes some guys to a couple of years to get used to professional sports, you know, making that move up. So, and I'm curious to see what happens with Latavius Murray. Maybe they keep him, but they can cut him now and take less of a hit and maybe get a cheaper option depending upon how Cook's progress is. A
lot of changes to that offense in Minnesota is coming. Also, could there be changes to the offense in Dallas? We'll talk about that live on YouTube when we return. It's Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. The question that we need an answer for is, have we seen Dez Bryant play his final snap with the Dallas Cowboys? We asked the question yesterday in regards to Blake Bortles, and 55% of the fantasy executive was yes. 50% from Matt Modica said, well, yes and no, because it's 50-50. But when it comes to Dez Bryant, Stephen Jones, of course, Jerry Jones' son, kind of went out on a limb yesterday and was like, we don't like his antics. The relationship between Dez Bryant and Dak Prescott is not what the relationship was between Dez and Tony Romo. Dez has to calm down. We're going to figure this out. Now, Jerry Jones later in the day kind of walked this back. He's like, yeah, Dez will be back. But, you know, the antics, we could do without them. Corey, you're the longtime Dallas Cowboys fan. What are you reading into this?
They're trying to send a message to Dez Bryant, letting him know that he needs to perform better, be less of a distraction, or he could have what happened to him next year this time, what happened to Terrell Owens, but they decided to part ways. Nobody in Big D is bigger than that star in the middle of the field. So that goes for Dez Bryant also. As far as this upcoming season, it's no way he's not a Dallas Cowboy this upcoming season.
Yeah, well, I think they're kind of like, they don't have a choice. It's not like they can cut this guy or anything, too. It'd be too. Here's the thing. When you're winning, a lot is overlooked. A lot is forgiven. Mm-hmm. And you can pull antics and stuff. I think there's, you know, he needs some help on the other side as well. This core of receivers is not good, to being kind. Can Dez bounce back next year? Yeah. I mean, is he a guy I'm going to be going actively after? No. But if he falls to the right price, I'll definitely scoop him up, because I do think he is a red zone target. I do think, you know, he still has good football left in him. But, yeah, no, Dak and Dez. And Dak, this is a big year for Dak, you know, the way his sophomore season ended.
Now, for Dez Bryant, they can cut him right now. Save a lot of money, and they're able to cut him right now.
How much would they save?
Oh, God.
They're not going to take a major cap hit if they cut
him? No,
it would be like $8 million.
They're saving $8 million, you're saying?
The cap hit would be $8 million.
But I understand that. The cap hit would be... So dead cap, it says dead cap here would be $8 million. That's correct, Corey. Oh. The dead cap would be $8 million. They'll save $8.5 million. It's a lot of money.
Yeah, that is. I mean, I can't see them doing it this year, though. Especially coming off the year they had. I do think, you know, they just need to improve this receiving core.
But they've made it very clear, definitely. But Dez, at 29 years old, I hope this is right, at 29 years old, he's not the same dude as he was when he
I'm not going to go that far.
How can you not go that far?
I'm not going to go that far. I still think he has it. I think there is a chemistry issue with him and Dak. I think he had a down season. I do think he can bounce back and come back to form that we've seen in the past. So I think that is more than likely what happened. Is he the guy he was 3-4 years ago? No. Is he the guy he was this past year? No. So somewhere in the middle, I would trend more towards the good Dez Bryant that we see for 2018. I would buy him in fantasy drafts, especially anywhere after the third round. That's easy right there. As far as cutting him, that's not going to happen. You can't cut a player you need. They need Dez Bryant.
Well, that's the thing. They can't cut him because they need that wide receiving core.
I think that's a very fair point. But is Dez Bryant, Corey, worth $16.5 million this year?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. You have to. What are you going to do? You going to throw Terrence Williams and Bryce Butler out there?
Right.
So, yes, he's worth $16.5 million. You can't. The football team needs him. They're going to draft a wide receiver. They'll probably toll around in free agency. Do they want to go one of the top guys like a Landry or something like that, Allen Robinson? Or do they come down to someplace more reasonable in that Dante Moncrief area? Dante Moncrief, you get somebody in the draft, and then you have a receiving core. And Bryce Butler can play.
Well, Bryce Butler's a free agent. Bryce Butler wants to start.
He has a good point. Terrence Williams is probably the odd man out.
Terrence Williams just got paid.
He just got paid, and Terrence Williams is a better locker room guy than he is a football player. I think Bryce comes back at a cheaper price. I think it could be a possible draft pick.
I don't agree that Bryce is back.
Okay, yeah, if Bryce doesn't come back, then I can see a Dante Moncrief type coming in there, you know, as a cheaper guy if they don't want to spend the big money for Landry or Allen Robinson or somebody like that. So somebody you can get Moncrief for a couple years, you draft somebody, and then you got your wide receiving core.
Going back to Corey's point, is Dez worth $16.5 million?
Yep.
He is to the Cowboys in the current situation.
Yeah, he is to Dallas.
Is he that player anymore? 2014 Dez isn't walking through that door, as people like to say.
So I totally agree with that. But Corey was like, yes, you think he is that same player.
But the difference, he's closer to that player than he is the player that he was in 2017.
Well, the problem here with Dez is he's getting shut down anytime, and it happens to other number, but he is pretty much, you put a number one cornerback on him, he's getting locked down. So, I don't know. There has to be some concern.
That's what I am with you here, Matt. That's what I want to know.
Less is more. He needs less. he needs less targets. He's getting too much. He's becoming, the defenses know that they're going to Dez Bryant all the time when they need a play. And him and Dak is forcing the ball to him. That's why it doesn't look right. You get some more pieces in that option. You let Dak open it up some. Let him run the offense without having to worry about getting 88 involved. He needs less targets. Less is more for Dez Bryant.
I think the guy that would be the perfect fit here in Dallas is Jarvis Landry. It would help out Dak a ton. Because, you know, and then it would.
You
it
got
would
Beasley up. In the slot, though.
I mean, Beasley's got to. Come on.
I feel what you're saying.
Beasley,
but
Terrence Williams, these guys, we've been there, we've done that with them.
They need another outside wide receiver.
They need to upgrade that position. In my opinion, you put a guy like Landry in there, you're freeing up. You have the run game with Zeke. You get Landry, who can take all that over the middle space, catch a ton of balls there. Should open things up for Dez.
Then you got another wide receiver that costs just as much money as Dez Bryant. See, it's kind of like it's not realistic with their current situation, the way they're set up.
Well, then they're either going to have to just load up on defense, or they're going to have to choose one or the other. They have to make improvements here. And while you still have Zeke on the rookie deal, this is the time, and Dak, this is the time to do it.
Yeah, and then Dez will come off the books shortly after that. But the big free agents are too much. If you bring in Jarvis Landry in there, that's a you have to win now.
Well, I think they're in that mode. I mean, if you bring in Allen Robinson, he's going to cost you a ton too.
Yeah, he's too much. Those outside wide receivers are too much. And then you're going to bring so next year you have what? You have over 30, you probably have $30-something million paid to two wide receivers when you run the football more than any other team in the NFL. Doesn't make any sense. It has to be a cheaper option than a draft pick.
Well, then they're going to need to load up on the defense. They're going to have to go that. Because, I mean, Dez needs some help here. And the other pieces they have, I'm not saying they're not NFL players or, you know, good enough to be in the NFL, but they need to upgrade this position. I mean, how old is the tight end going to be now? Look, he has games, but, I mean, at some point they got to be looking for his replacement.
I mean, you look at what's out there. You look at what's out there and what you can get on the cheap. Do the Bills bring just another slot wide receiver in Jordan Matthews? You got Bryce Butler, who's already on their team. Allen Robinson, Jarvis Landry, too much money. Dante Moncrief, that's a perfect fit right there. Dante Moncrief, a new regime could let him walk easy. So they're not going to do the Terrell Pryor thing. They know that's probably not going to work. Kamal Aiken is Taylor Gabriel, Harry Douglas, Wash, Eric Decker, Wash. You got Sammy Watkins money? No. You bring in an agent, Mike Wallace? No. It's going to be through the draft, and they will probably, in my opinion, make a strong push for Dante Moncrief.
See, that's not. I don't know if that's getting it done. Look, this is a big. As much as it is for Dez, it is for Dak. So this is going to be.
But Dak's not going anywhere.
My point was, this is a huge offseason for the Dallas Cowboys.
It is.
Remember, at this time last year, you're coming off a playoff where you think that ultimately they can take the next step. A lot of people thought they were going to the Super Bowl this year.
Roger Goodell took the running back away for 6 weeks.
Roger Goodell did take the running back away for 6 weeks. But they needed
I never thought help. They were going to the Super Bowl.
I know you didn't. You didn't like it. I
just thought, like we talked about with team. The schedule was going to flip on them, and it was just going to be too tough. I mean, and that could be problems for the Eagles and these other teams when you play that first place schedule as opposed to, you know, the previous year when you were, you know, one of the bottom teams or something like that.
Yes, the schedule is definitely going to flip, but I think this team, if they can improve the defense with Zeke back for a full 16
they
games.
They won 9 games, and Ezekiel Elliott didn't play in 6 of them.
But, you know, here's the thing, like you said, with the defense.
Yeah.
Lee never plays a full season.
You're right.
So you have to already. I mean, what's
you got?
12
Jalen,
games?
You got Jalen Smith on the come though. So
on the come, but
that makes that makes the Lee hit less of a hit when Lee takes his when Lee misses his 4 or 5 games. You got Jalen Smith on the come, and then you know you could be in a position. You know everything I see mock wise, which doesn't mean anything. Has Roquan Smith that's going to be there when they draft. So
okay. I think they do have to go after Roquan Smith, but then
then they need a wide receiver.
You
too.
Need a wide receiver.
You can.
I think they actually need a wide receiver that's not a rookie. They need somebody that can come in and get it done now.
It's Dante Moncrief.
Look.
He makes the most sense.
It's just a random answer.
No, he makes the most sense.
I get what Corey's saying with Moncrief, because he's going to, cost-wise, he fits.
Marquise Lee.
But Marquise Lee, I think he's going to want to get, he's going to want to get paid now, too.
Everybody's going to want to get paid.
Marquise Lee can't demand big money, though.
Marquise Lee can demand more money than Dante Moncrief.
Yes.
Same age.
What's better? Dante Moncrief has been good in 3 years.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Dante Moncrief has been good in three years.
And Marquise Lee was good in for 1 year.
Correct.
One year and a half.
Definitely. But what was the last time you liked Dante Moncrief?
Look who he's been playing with.
Andrew Luck 2 years ago.
Yeah, and then he had the injury season. Then Andrew Luck was in it this year.
I don't trust Dante Moncrief at all. I never trust Dante Moncrief.
Dante Moncrief can play. I trust him more than I trust, you know, some of these. I would rather pay his salary than to have to go pay a Sammy Watkins or have to go pay a Jarvis Landry or on Allen Robinson.
I'm not putting Sammy Watkins in there, but
then you got two wide receivers making $30 million.
But you're either gonna have to pay it on the you can draft Roquan Smith and get that receiver. Sammy Watkins is 25.
Sammy Watkins is going to be franchise tag.
He's 25. I don't know if he's going to be first. That's, I don't know if they're going to franchise him. I mean, he was their third wide receiver. I know they mentioned it, but that was their third wide receiver. Could it happen? It's a possibility. But I think you put Watkins and Dez together, that makes it. Now, a team can only use one.
I feel what you're saying.
If you open up one of those guys,
I would love it, but it's too amazing. Much money for a
no,
team that runs the foot.
No, it's not too much money. As usual, you guys are overrating Sammy Watkins. Why do you guys think Sammy Watkins is all of a sudden going to make all this money guaranteed?
Oh,
he's not.
Potential.
It's the truth.
Potential. That people are going to pay for the potential. First of all, you're going to get franchise tag. The Rams are going to tag him.
I don't know. They mentioned it, but I don't know. He was their third wide receiver. I don't know if it's a guarantee they're going to franchise.
If I'm the Rams, I have the money, I franchise them because God forbid he goes to the 49ers. Right?
Good shit. Because they're healthy, too.
Look, he was healthy this year.
He was healthy.
That's what makes him risky for that money. But he's going to demand that money, especially if he hits the open market. He's going to demand that money.
Somebody's going to say, we got a 25-year-old former, you know, top pick, one of the top picks in the draft. Where'd he go?
Clemson.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying he was like
four overall.
Overall. Yeah. He was healthy last year. Somebody's going to gamble on this guy. I mean, he didn't get the targets and all that, but somebody will take a gamble on just on age.
I 100% think someone's going to take the gamble, but I don't want to put him into a class with Jarvis Landry because he doesn't deserve it. Jarvis Landry has 100 catches every year.
Different receivers. They're totally
extremely different receivers. But one guy has stayed healthy through the 4 years of his career and put up 100 catches every year.
One guy has not been able to.
So you can't put them in the same class. They're not going to make the same money.
No, Jarvis Landry deserves to make more money. You're correct. But people will pay for Watkins' potential.
Sure, but not nearly as much as they'll pay Jarvis Landry.
Well, you know what Jarvis Landry is. So
they're
going to get about the same money.
It's going to be about the same.
I don't agree with that.
If you put Watkins, like what they did with Thielen this year, if you put like Watkins in the slot and stuff and moved him around, you see when they get inside the 10, you can't cover Watkins.
I don't think
unless you do a holding call, you can't cover him. He'll get a touchdown every time.
I don't think he can handle being in the slot. He's going to get jacked up and it'll be in the Sammy Watkins.
Yeah. He's an outside wide receiver.
The dude had foot injuries. When I watched him a couple of years ago when he had a quarterback that consistently targeted him and he was healthy, he was pretty much uncoverable.
He was. He's uncoverable on the goal line, too, for the Rams this year. Uncoverable. They had the same play over and over and over.
As bad as his season was, he still had 8 touchdowns.
Sure. And so I don't think
he was the number 3 option.
I don't think anyone's going to say this is a bad season for him.
No, but he was healthy.
He was the
number 3 option.
Yes.
He got 8 touchdowns, and he's like 25 years old.
I just feel like I'm sitting at the Sammy Watkins apologist table. No matter what happens, you're always going to go back to Sammy Watkins.
No, but the fact that he's still young, it's like with baseball, those pedigree guys, they'll take the shot with him.
It's like Tristan Thompson.
The upside.
you're paying for what he can be.
Jarvis Landry should be one of the highest paid.
Definitely. Yes.
The guy has consistently got it done. Nobody has more catches than him since he came into the league.
He's awesome.
So,
he's going in a situation where, listen, they could franchise him too.
People view Jarvis Landry different, though. I'm just being honest with you. They're going to view him as more of a possession receiver. That's just, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but that's how people.
But you can move the chains with Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Is he more of a possession as more of, say, that game breaker outside number one guy?
But we can say what we want about Sammy Watkins and his age, but he's not a young 25 years old. He's not.
We've seen him struggle with injuries, and then we've seen him struggle with poor performance. His last two seasons have been injury and poor performance. But people are going to pay for what he can be.
We'll see. I'm excited to see.
But he's going to get franchised.
I'm excited to see people think the contract will be for Sammy Watkins if he's not franchised. We'll take a break. When we come back, we officially reveal with the King, Scott Angle, who's going to the Hall of Fame, according to the FNTSY crew. Stick around. More Roto Experts coming up next.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Factors, the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller fields, and entry contests. Only Fantasy Factor runs NBA and NHL free rolls each and every week. The free banner. So sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com. Joining me right now, as he does each and every morning at this time, it is the king, the host of Fantasy Sports Today from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. our pregame show, if you will, each and every morning, as well as the co-host of the Fantasy Sports News Desk, 3 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. He is the FSWA Hall of Famer, the King, Scott Angle. What's up, Scotty?
Good morning, my friend, and very excited for this segment. It was a lot of fun to put together.
Yeah, you know, it was, and today, you are the Hall of Famer for the FSWA, and today we're going to reveal FNTSY's Hall of Fame ballots. Why don't you describe the rules, Scotty?
Well, the rules are pretty much the same as the Baseball Writers Association. We had 20 guys from the Fantasy Sports Network, a Sports Grid, and Roto Experts act as voters. You can vote for up to 10 players. If they appear on 75% of the ballots, we think they deserve to make it into the 2018 class of the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame.
That's correct. And at this time, I'd like to reveal go through this with you, Scott, and reveal who is in and who is out. Scotty, Johnny Damon, on his first year on the ballot, did not receive a vote.
No, yeah, I feel like, you know, Damon, you know, played 18 seasons with eight teams. He's a two-time All-Star, topped the 100-run scored mark 10 times. Led the AL in runs scored with 2,000, but I think Johnny Damon is an exemplary of why a guy won't make it onto my ballot. My criteria was, if you were the very best of the best for an extended period overall or at your position, that's how you made it. Look, Johnny Damon has two rings, and he'll have that forever, but I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
Scotty, also receiving zero votes in our poll. This wouldn't surprise me, to be honest with you. They got zero. In his fourth year on the ballot, Gary Sheffield.
You know what? I actually struggled with that one. Yeah. And some of the Baseball Writers guys have made a good case for Sheffield. And for me, it came down to Sheffield and another player, Billy Wagner, who almost didn't didn't make it. But maybe because he played 22 seasons for about nine teams, you know, sometimes I think that affects because he played for so many teams. But, you know, this guy, he's worthy in a lot of ways. Nine-time All-Star, five-time Silver Slugger. You know, hit 20 or more home runs in 14 seasons, including eight with 30 or more and two with at least 40 home runs, at least 100 RBIs in eight seasons. You can make a case for Sheffield, but I never felt like Sheffield was quite the best of the best. Like, he's just in that tier below. Like, he was a very fearsome hitter, but I just can't see him in a class with the super elite, and I watched a lot of his career. I felt like at times he was there, but over his whole career, I didn't feel like he was an elite player.
Yeah, so that was, for me also, if you look at his numbers, they really do stack up, Sheffield's. But for me, I struggled with this one also because I thought that ultimately he never was the best of the best. I'm with you, Scott. And that was what it came down to me as well, that I never felt like he was the best in the baseball, you know? And maybe that was just the time he played in, but I was totally with you in why I didn't vote for him as well. So we were on the same page.
He had a 300 or better batting average in eight full seasons.
Nine-time All-Star.
But only once did he finish above third in the MVP voting, you know? And then you look at Barry Bonds, the guy was a seven-time MVP.
Oh, yeah, but Barry Bonds is a little bit different case.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
No, anyway. But I'm just saying, you know, you talk about a guy who actually never won it and only once finished second in the voting.
Sure.
To me, he's not the best of the best.
Scotty, I agree with you. That's why I did not vote for him. That's why I didn't vote for him. Mm-hmm. All right, getting just 5% of the vote here, Andrew Jones. The only person that voted for him was your boy Mike Cardano.
Well, I guess he was looking at maybe, you know, his fielding, because the guy was a tremendous fielder, but I never felt like he consistently matched it with, you know, with the hitting. Five-time All-Star, 10-time Gold Glove Award winner in center field. Probably the best of the best in terms of maybe what we've ever seen in fielding in center field.
Sure.
But the offense, you know, it was good. He 20 home runs 10 times. Led the NL home runs in 2005 with 51. Drove in 100 or more runs five times. Scored 100 or more runs four times. I think you make a case for Jones. So I don't think it's a ridiculous vote by Cardano at all. But again, I never felt like he was the best of the best. Only twice did he finish in the top 10 of the NL MVP voting. No higher. One time second. But it's like he had a great year and he was always a fine fielder. But with the Dodgers, Rangers, White Sox, and Yankees, I never felt like he was the best of the best.
Two players received 10% of the vote, Scotty. Those both first year on the ballot players, Scott Rowland and Omar Vizquel.
Yeah, Scott Rowland, you know, certainly had his moments throughout his career, but automatically I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. He did play 17 years, eight-time Gold Glove Award winner, won the Silver Slugger one time, you know, just not a guy that really struck me as a Hall of Famer. You know, but this, look, the standards are high. You really have – there's a lot of guys that I believe that, you know, never made in the Hall of Fame that should be in. You know, you look at Omar Vizquel, 24 seasons, 11-time Gold Glove Award winner. Dewey, career lead in defensive games at shortstop, led the league in fielding at percentage of six times, but the offense never matched. You have to be an all-around player. If there's a defensive Hall of Fame, look, he stole 20 or more bases in eight seasons, but, you know, the pop was never there. If somebody's going to make a case for Vizquel, I feel it's almost like Andrew Jones in a way.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But was he one of the best of all time? No, this is a very exclusive club. It's not a knock on him.
In the words of the great Mike Francesa, he's a compiler. That's what he is.
I wouldn't say that. He was a tremendous fielder.
Great fielder. He had no offense. That's what I'm saying. played 25 years.
I wouldn't say you had no offense. I just, 20 stolen bases.
Great.
How many times did I just say?
Eat. That's
you know,
great.
That's part of offense. Oh, yeah, that's great.
That's not
know.
That's not a Hall of Famer.
You just see that he didn't have a 25
years.
I agree
worth.
With you.
He's not a Hall of Famer.
I wouldn't say he was a compiler though.
I don't disagree. All right, 15% of the vote went to Billy Wagner in his third season on the ballot. He does not get in.
I voted for Wagner. I felt like you know, he has 422 career saves. That is the second highest among left-handed relievers and sixth overall. The career whip of 0.99 is the lowest among all relievers with at least 500 innings pitched. I think what hurts Wagner is the fact that he played for five different teams. But do I feel that Billy Wagner was the best of the best? I could argue he was almost as good as Trevor Hoffman at some point. In the National League, he was a standard seven-time All-Star. Led the NL in games, finished twice, finished among the top five in saves four times, set a record for highest single-season strikeout per nine innings among relievers, 14.95 in 99, 12 seasons with 20-plus saves, 9 to 30 or more, and two more with 40 or more. I really felt Billy Wagner was underrated, but you know there's a lot of people that don't. I guess hold the same view, but Wagner, it came down to Wagner or Sheffield as my 10th. I went with Wagner.
Also getting 15% of the vote in his first season on the ballot, it was former Mets ace, the only man to throw a no-hitter for the New York Mets, Johan Santana. He finishes with just three votes in our poll.
Yeah, I would say former Twins ace because he had the best years for the Twins. If he pitched the level that he pitched for the Twins for his entire career, I would say Santana would be a Hall of Famer. You know, one of my favorite pitchers to watch ever. Two-time Cy Young Award winner, 2004 and 2006. Led the league in whip four times, earned run average three times, strikeouts three times, strikeouts per nine innings three times. A lot. He was so good in the American League. But, you know, once he moved over to the National League, he had a really good year or two, and then he started breaking down, and I think that affected him. Santana's excellent career overall, I think, but I think the Mets portion of his career was not enough to get him in the Hall of Fame.
All right, continuing on here, receiving, let's see here, we received 20% of the vote. This time, both of these players, 8th and 9th year on the ballot, neither make the Hall of Fame, Fred McGriff and Larry Walker.
I struggle with Larry Walker. You know, the numbers are all there. 1997 MVP. You know, what a great year. Led the NL in batting three times. Seven gold gloves, three silver sluggers. Five-time All-Star. 30-30 in 97 with 49 home runs and 33 stolen bases. One of the greatest seasons you'll ever see, reason real or fantasy-wise. But Larry Walker just got hurt too often.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I think Fred McGriff, personally, he was just hurt the era that he played in. He was awesome. But seeing all these guys take steroids and putting up the numbers they did, that hurts his candidacy in my eyes. Continuing on
here.
Yeah,
you look at the numbers.
We got to keep going.
Sorry.
At 35% of the vote, we had Sammy Sosa clock in. Sammy Sosa, the longtime Cub, hit 60 home runs three times. He is not a Hall of Famer, according to us.
I voted for Sosa. Seven-time All-Star, six-time Silver Slugger, 1998 MVP, topped the 30 homer mark 11 times, seven times with 40 or more, and three times with better than 60. If it's all about the numbers and we're letting Bonds and Clemens in, we got to let Sosa in.
Yeah, I don't feel... I didn't vote for him, but I knew that argument was coming. I don't really have a good argument against that, to be honest.
60 or more home runs three times.
I know. I think most people, I think myself included, have this thought process with Sammy Sosa, that if he didn't take the steroids, he wouldn't be good enough. And I think that's why I left the vote out.
If you're going to stay steroids, then I think you got to leave Bonds and Clemens out.
Well, I just told you my reasoning. Because I thought Bonds and Clemens were probably good enough without the steroids. I don't think Sammy Sosa was.
Yeah, but then you're basing your vote on an if, and not what actually happened.
I am voting, but it's my vote. I can do whatever I want with it.
It is your vote, but I disagree with it because I'm looking at what did happen, I'm not basing it on an if. The numbers are there.
25% of the vote went to Jeff Kent, who I voted for the second year in a row in this thing. I proved last year on this very show that he deserves to go to the Hall of Fame, and I stand by it. He was the best second baseman in this era. He's one of the best hitting second basemen of all time. Jeff Kent deserves to go to the Hall of Fame.
Four Silver Sluggers, 2000 NL MVP. He's another guy that the amount of teams that he played for in the 17 seasons kind of hurts him, but it also does is that I think the level of his play kind of fluctuated throughout those 17 seasons, and that's why he didn't get my vote.
Trevor Hoffman got just 45% of the vote in his third year on the ballot. He did not make our cut, while 55% also voted for Edgar Martinez, Scotty, who does not make the Hall of Fame.
Trevor Hoffman will always get on my ballot. Outside of Mariano Rivera, throughout the 90s, he was the most dominant reliever in the game. He is the San Diego Padres. Two-time Fireman of the Year, two-time Rolaids Relief Man, ranked second all-time in games finished. The guy was dominant. Seven-time All-Star, led the NFL saves in twice, 53 saves in 1998, Major League record with 41 consecutive converted save chances. I could go on and on with the numbers. I feel Hoffman truly deserves it. He's always going to appear on my ballot. And I think what you don't see reflected in the numbers, he played for a lot of San Diego teams in which every save chance was probably very close.
The 55% mark was the same for Jim Thome as it was for Edgar Martinez. Thome, in his first year on the ballot, does not get in.
Yeah, I felt like he was never the best of the best for an extended period.
Okay, I voted for him. I thought he was, personally. The 500 home runs.
I thought there were years that he was, but over the total sum of his career, I felt there were some valleys.
60% of the vote, also not enough. It's close, but no cigar. Two players on our ballot had 60% of the vote. One was Mike Mussina. Mike Mussina, the former New York Yankee and Baltimore Oriole. He finishes at 60%. He does not get in. Scott Engel.
Yeah, I always felt like he was one of the best pitchers, but he never one of the superstar elites. Only one time did he finish above fourth in the Cy Young voting.
The other player at 60% is another starting pitcher. That's Curt Schilling.
Yeah, I feel Schilling should make it. You know, if nothing else, based on his postseason numbers, which are outstanding. In the postseason, 11-2 with a 223 ERA in 19 games and a co-MVP. You know, he really stepped up, and I felt like consistently throughout his career, he was one of the best pitchers in the game.
Which leaves five players that have made the FNTSY Hall of Fame based on our ballot. As Scott mentioned, we had 20 voters. That was what we limited it to. And ultimately, five players made the Hall of Fame. Scott, I'm going to announce them at the top of the hour. Would you like to hang on for that?
Sure.
We have gone through the ballot.
Oh, no.
We have gone through that ballot, and only five players have made the Hall of Fame. We will announce that when we come back live on television here on A Roto Experts.